Genesis 42, beginning at verse 18. And Joseph said unto them, the third day, this do, and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold also, his blood is required. We ask you ponder these words in light of the gospel. And the gospel we are hearing, the key and the dominant phrase in the text, and we would not hear. I trust that this would not be you this morning. Holy God, we give you thanks for this hour. We ask, Lord, that you will come and that you will bless your word as we have sung, that we would be not only comforted, we will be corrected. And Lord, if where there is conversion, Lord, we pray that you will speak to this end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 42, where we would be meditating on this morning. Genesis chapter 42, particularly verse 21. You will be thinking about this verse. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Joseph's brethren were in great distress as they stood before him. It was not a very long time that had passed between their last experience with their brother Joseph. Only 13 years had passed when Reuben and 9 others came down to Egypt. It's not a long time at all. I don't see how you can forget someone in a mere 13 years. Not by today's standing. But this is what happens when we forget God. He forgets us. Benjamin was left at home because his father had supposed that Joseph was already dead, along with these brothers, of course. Joseph's brothers never expected to see him again. Just like so many, you know of the cross, they dispose of Jesus, never expecting to see him again. Or having heard the gospel or the preacher, he's gone, and their hope is they will never see or hear him again, not knowing that the gospel demands responsibility. They thought they had rid themselves from Joseph. Here they stood before him in great distress. Verse 21 says, they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. They remembered him. in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he begged us and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Surely the Bible is right. Behold, your sin will find you out. Wonderfully, you and I have read the whole story. But what we don't understand is that this story will be played out on the last day of this world's existence. We forget that this is the Word of God, and it speaks to all men at all times about the same person. We forget this. The context tells us that Joseph spoke roughly to his brethren. Verse 7. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. He said unto them, Where do you come from? And they said, From the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. How could they forget this boy who was dispatched at 17 years old and stood before Pharaoh to be promoted at 30 years old? How can they forget him? Sometimes you go up home to the Caribbean and you see boys that grew up and they slip from you. And they'll say to you, You don't remember me? You just leave over here. And you're right. You shouldn't forget. What a scene before us. Joseph knew everything about his brothers, but they did not know him. It could be that Egyptian climate and culture had so changed the demeanor and complexion of Joseph that he wasn't easily recognized. Some commentators say this, and that's all they could see. And that's why you don't put your stock in commentaries. This may be true, some say, but it's more than this. 13 years by no means is a long time to forget someone. I've been here over 25. But it is a great picture. The further we are away from the Lord, the easier it is to forget it. And we have some people in the church that think that they can play games with attendance and with God, not knowing that the more we do this, the more God blinds us. He blinds our eyes and he hardens our hearts. We get used to being away. Instead of absence making the heart fonder, absence makes the human heart colder. And you should pay attention to these things. There's a dynamic going on when people behave like that. God is at work to further harden and blind them. And this is the lesson. God did this to these boys. It is God that withheld their knowledge of their brother from them. We would no longer, when we do this, recognize the Lord. We would no longer understand his words as these ones did. And that's the deeper spiritual lesson. Joseph knew his brethren. How come Joseph knew them? But they knew not him. The Lord Jesus knows all about us. He knows how he is being mistreated. He knows how he is being hated. abuse, despise. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own did not know him. But the good news in this text is that Jesus knows his brethren before they knew him. We do not know the Lord Jesus first. He did not see anything worthy of him recognizing us. No, it's not true. The scripture says that Joseph spoke roughly to them. In other words, we say today he roughed them up. And they deserve roughing up. And sometimes some of us need roughing up. And you get that roughing up from the scriptures. Not from me, from the scriptures. At times we hear people say, I don't like that preacher. He spoke to me too hard. Well, let me say, the words of Christ are not soft words. And we shouldn't try to soften them up. When we are guilty of crimes, this is the language he uses when he is drawing his elect. And only his people would appreciate the roughness of God's word. He spoke roughly. Second, Joseph remembered his brethren. Verse 9 says this, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamt of them, and said unto them, you're spies, to see the nakedness of the land you are come. And said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food. You see, when you do wrong, when you lie, like these boys did to their father, sooner or later nobody is going to believe you. At least not me. And sometimes men tell me barefaced lies. And they would want to come to the pulpit and teach. It would be very hard for me to believe a man, no matter how good he is in speaking. If he lied to me about something with all the truth, I would find it hard to listen to him. And this should be true of you. If you caught me in sharing the truth, dodging a question, it weakens my credibility and my integrity as I speak to you. And some of you think that you can withhold truth from me and expect me to be blessed by the words that come from your mouth. It can't happen. It's not like that. And that's what, this is the lesson. Joseph says, no, you didn't come to buy food. You come to spy. I don't believe you. And sometimes we give questions to our people whereby they don't believe us. Don't let this be true of you. I mean, I've heard your story before. I don't believe you. There's a moral lesson here. Joseph remembered his brethren. He remembered his dreams. His dreams are being realized in the midst of their visit to Egypt. They came and bowed down to him. 7 years of famine had begun, and everyone is coming to Joseph and bowing to him and begging for bread. Joseph's dreams were correct, even though Joseph was at fault in saying these things to his brothers and to his father. It was a measure of disrespect to his parents and to his older brothers, but all things work for good. Joseph was bringing the gospel to them. That is the gospel that he was sharing with them. And we know that that was the gospel because of what happened. But Joseph is not about to give in to his brothers. He insists, you are spies. and will be treated as spies. This is a leader. This is not a wimp. This is a leader. This man is in charge of all of Egypt. And he's standing on principle. This is because Joseph is the sovereign of the land. And he's the sovereign in the hand of God as far as God's plan for the world is concerned. And some of us must realize when we are called to office that we must be serious about that office. Or God has a plan that many have not discovered. So Joseph roughed up his brothers. He remembers them. But we see here that Joseph finally reprimanded, the text that I read to you, his brothers, verse 14 through 16. He said unto them, "That is it that I spake to you, saying, you are spies. And hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not go from here except your youngest brother come here." Now you know what he's getting at. His brother was from the same mother. His mother died in childbirth. And you know, do you know the emotion that this boy, Joseph, this young man, is going through? And he said, "Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, that ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." And he put them all together into a ward, a cell, 3 days. Joseph said unto them the third day, "This do and live. For I fear God. If you are true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go you, carry corn for the famine of your houses." He's gracious. He's very gracious to these ones. As he impounded them, reprimanded them, and sometimes God's judgments are gracious. Put us on a hospital bed a few weeks. Take away a child, a loved one, because he's gracious, teaching us a lesson. Now this had to be traumatic for these brothers. You can just see them shaking. They left Canaan with high hopes of getting corn and end up in a jail cell. In a strange land. It has to be traumatic. Many of God's people have lessons to learn. Our church, I notice, is going through the mill. I've taken notice of it. There are lessons to learn. I hope you're learning. We are going through the mill. In Genesis 42:21, their conscience, or their consciences, finally smite them. And they look back 17 years earlier. "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." The oldest one, Reuben, said, "I told you so." Notice what he said in verse 22. Reuben answered them, saying, "Did I not say to you, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. See, they remember their sin. But it has nothing to do with what's going on there. But they remember, these are Hebrew boys. It was too little, too late, especially for this Reuben guy. As the eldest brother, he spoke to his rearward brothers, but he did nothing to stop them. At times, you and I talk, but do nothing. If Reuben had the fortitude, he would have stopped his brothers. He was the firstborn. He was responsible to his father. Had he stopped them from abusing this young boy? This is conjecture, of course. It would not have happened. By the time he got back to the well, the boy was gone. Now, at times we, as senior Christians, see the name of Christ and the gospel being ridiculed and disrespected in our church. And we, the senior ones, said nothing. I am troubled by that. And have a lot to talk to. Like Reuben should have kept his mouth shut. I told you so. I don't want to hear that. Should have shut his mouth at this juncture, because Joseph understood every word they were saying. Just like how there's one that understands every thought and every deed that we commit. But I just want to point out Reuben. I told you so. Didn't I tell you to leave him? Yeah, but you didn't do anything. And I've had so many experiences, people in our church that stood by and allowed the pastor to be kicked and ridiculed to say nothing. Or even the Lord Jesus. Let me bring these words, brethren, to bear this hour, because they show us the tragedy of gospel neglect. And this is what the title of the devotion should be. The tragedy of gospel neglect. History will be repeated for so many who hear the pleas and the cries of Christ from the cross when the gospel is proclaimed. They hear on the Lord's day. They hear the gospel. I hope that these words would not be our words. We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Those few words. Therefore is this distress come upon us. We saw his anguish as he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We hear these words. We see the anguish of those laboring and preaching Christ every Lord's Day. We see the anguish on their faces. We see in the counsel we receive. We see the frustration. We hear the anguish in their prayers when they beseech the Lord for us. We hear. Let not, brethren, these words be said by any one of you today, and we would not hear. Wonderfully, as I said, you know the story, you have hindsight. But that's just history that you know and understand. And I'm not here to teach history. Joseph's brothers wonderfully saw a reprieve. I don't even know if they ever become believers. I know one thing, that God used them to build the 12 tribes. And the nation, even up to today, names still are there in place. But we don't know who among them were converted. But we are certain about Joseph, that he was a believer. We are absolutely certain about him. But we're not certain about the rest. God used them, but we don't know if they become, as a matter of fact, they become very wicked. Manasseh, Ephraim, they had a terrible legacy. So, but I'm not getting into that. But apparently, by this text, Joseph was pleading for his life. He was begging for his life. When they bung him and throw him in that pit. His brothers, in light of this, his brothers were cold and callous and throw him in a well. And we know, of course, what that points to. But I'm not dealing with that now at all. But our Lord, in contrary to Joseph, did not plead for his life. He did at one time when he asked the Lord to take this cup from him. And he cried that cry on the cross. My God, why hast thou? It shows the terrible agony of the cross for the Son of God. But we can read about the pleading. There were two men who stood with Jesus at the cross. And one is, and they're two because they represent two kinds of people in the church. One continued his merry mocking, but one bowed and cried for salvation. They both were hearing the gospel, and they were hearing it from the strangest sources, the unbelievers around the cross. They were hearing, if you are the Son of God, come down. They were hearing, you save others, save yourself. One of them said, yeah. This is the Savior. This is God. Remember me. That's the church. That's you, me. Two kinds of people. But we didn't read the Lord begging to be taken off the cross. But he saw double anguish of soul. He was cast into hell. He now sits at the right hand of the God until his enemies be made his footstool. But he yet pleads with you to turn. To be real. To be genuine. He pleads with you. He's pleading for those who he will call to salvation. Notice the last line again. And we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Is your name among the ones who would not hear? I don't know. I can just go from what I'm seeing. I can just go from what I'm seeing day to day in our church. For these brothers, Joseph was out of sight, out of mind. Forgotten in a distant land. And for many today, Jesus is out of sight, out of mind. Can't see him, can't hear him. Then comes a great day. Then comes a great day. A great need. Not for corn, but for life. He sees us. He knows us. Even though we may have forgotten Him and keep forgetting Him. But the last words are very ominous in this line. Therefore, is this distress come upon us? The word distress is the word trouble or adversity. It is the word that describes the horror that awaits everyone that forget the Savior. Distress. Sometimes you hear this word, people talk about distress. They don't really know what is distress. Joseph's brothers may not have understood what they were saying in the historical context at that time. But today you and I have a greater light, don't we? We now can understand what they were saying and how it relates to us today. We certainly can understand. Today the child of God can be as Joseph's brethren who admitted their guilt. This is what they were doing. They were admitting their guilt, their sins. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. They were admitting their guilt. It is us that brought Christ to the cross. But some people don't admit that. They leave Him in the pit. The Lord was wounded for the transgressions of His elect, those who would believe on Him. He was bruised for their iniquities, that we would not see this great distress. May we see every Bible lesson, may we see every Bible message as a means to make our calling an election sure. May we see every Bible message that is preached. I don't have time to waste. I'm getting older. I don't have many more opportunities to preach. And therefore, I must be committed to this gospel. And to you, and many of you who would not hear. God hasn't given us the Word of God as a storybook to fascinate our minds. He gave us the Word of God to convert our souls. And therefore, the gospel ought to be preached every time and in every season. Preach the Word in all seasons. I trust that you can take away from this portion today a message for you. And I hope that these words, and we would not hear, I trust that this would not be you or me. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God, the living Word. Pray that your blessing would continue to prevail this day. We thank you for finishing one session. And we pray for others that would follow. That you will be gracious. In Jesus' name, amen.